What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023, the start of a brand new year here. And, you know, already it's getting busy and wacko. About Friday, I had intended to do a show on Friday with the resolutions for the new year and everything. But I had to take Claire to the hospital, and it turned out to be minor. But she's a little freaked out because later in this week, I have to take her to the big hospital for some tests and possible surgery. So she's a little, you know, nervous about that. And like anybody else, I have my priorities, and Claire is definitely number one. But we are here live today, and we've got lots to talk about. Mike is in our control room taking care of business. Meanwhile, if you're a fan of the Power Hour, I will be the guest on with Dave Krieger tomorrow at 8 a.m. Central Time, which is 9 a.m. Eastern Time, and you can tune in and hear whatever it is we're going to talk about. All right, getting into the weather here, because that is really affecting a lot of people. More than 3 million people are currently under a tornado watch in Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. And I understand they just added a fifth state to that list after this powerful storm that caused flooding in California. It's here in the central U.S. We had thunderstorms last night, really loud ones, I mean, rattling the whole house. Expected to have more of the same tonight. Tomorrow, they're saying it's going to be a little bit easier on the weather. But if you're in that area with tornado watch, please take it very, very seriously. Take care of yourselves and be prepared to do whatever it is you've got to do, you know, if the weather is working against you. Meanwhile, up in the Northeast, New York City has this plan to convert all their garbage trucks and snow plows in the city to electrical operation, which sounds really good until you think about it and realize that cold weather and batteries don't mix. Batteries that get cold, they hold less charge, they have less of a surge here, and as a matter of fact, you know, the electric garbage trucks in New York failed in the Arctic blast that Elliott brought to the Northeast, and they had to basically go back to the gasoline-powered snow plows and garbage trucks to basically get the job done. All right, now today is the first day of the new Congress, and it's off to a rollicking start here. The House of Representatives is trying to elect a Speaker of the House, and it's definitely going to be a brawl. Now, Representative Kevin McCarthy, he's from California, Andy Biggs, who's from Arizona, and Hakeem Jeffries split the first vote three ways, and that takes the vote to a second vote. This is like the first time in 100 years that they have failed to elect a Speaker of the House on the first vote. And there are a lot of Republicans that don't like Kevin McCarthy. They think, coming from California, that he embraces too much of the liberal ideology, even though he's a Republican. And so they're out there. They went to, let's see, the first vote, McCarthy got 202, Jeffries got 211, others got 19. And that was the first vote. And I think it takes a minimum of 218 to win the election for Speaker of the House. Then they went to a second ballot. That one came out with Representative Jeffries, who's the Democrat, 212 votes. Representative McCarthy, 203. Representative Jim Jordan, 19 votes. And so they're thrashing this out. It's now going to go to a third vote. Now, a big stink is circulating because apparently many of the Republican members of the House of Representatives were threatened with removal from committees if they did not vote for Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. And this may have backfired on McCarthy and actually cost him votes because the Republicans don't like that kind of high-handed tactics being used against them. Meanwhile, as the names on the offices are getting changed there, Representative Liz Cheney is vacating her congressional seat today, and during her 6 years of serving in Congress, became a very wealthy woman. And, you know, Breitbart News reported last August, Cheney's net worth ballooned from an estimated $7 million when she first took office in 2017 to possibly more than $44 million in 2020. And so, yeah, it gets really kind of obvious when people go to Congress, vote against the people, and somehow get very, very rich in the process. Now, everybody is now focused on 2024 and the election. Democrats are concerned that a bipartisan third-party ticket might siphon votes away from Biden in 2024, handing the White House to Donald Trump. And that may be something that could happen. And sometimes third parties have been started and funded for the express purpose of siphoning votes away from an opponent there. And but another wrinkle in that calculation, though, is that Trump is now suggesting he may run on a third party ticket in 2024. And he's got the juice and the support to actually get a third party into the circus that's Sodom on the Potomac. And basically saying he's going to drop a hand grenade on the 2024 presidential election for Republicans by running as a third-party candidate. All righty, getting into the FTX scandal, Sam Bankman-Fried visited the White House four times before he was arrested, and he has now been arraigned. He has pled not guilty to all charges that he's been charged with. The judge has set a tentative trial date for the first part of, going to be into February, someplace like that here. And a very interesting thing has happened. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried has asked a judge to conceal the identities of two people who will help secure his bail, in addition to his parents' house in Palo Alto. He had this incredibly high bail set on him, and his parents pledged their very nice house, but it doesn't cover the entire amount. So there are two remaining parties who are going to come and sign pledges that they will be guarantors of the bail and make sure that Sam Bankman-Fried meets his court date. And the total bail package is $250 million, okay, and that was set on his arrest in the Bahamas after he was returned to the U.S. And the two individuals have not yet signed the bond, but intend to do so by the end of the week. And for some reason, they want to keep the identity of these individuals secret. So something is being hidden. Now, two law firms played key roles in Sam Bankman-Fried's house of cards, and one of them is now collecting upwards of $2,100 an hour in FTX bankruptcy proceedings. And they made money going on in, and they're making money coming on out. They appear to be untouchables politically. And, you know, it raises a possibility that Sam Bankman-Fried has uncovered the secret to success in the United States, which is you can do whatever you want to get rich as long as the politicians get their piece of the action, just like the old mafia, and that's the way it's being run, because a lot of Democrats got a lot of money for the midterm elections from Sam Bankman-Fried. In fact, the only individual handing out more money to Democrats than that was George Soros. Now, of course, the bankruptcy court is saying that money may be clawed back, and that may be why Sam Bankman-Fried has fallen from grace, is that they don't get to keep that money. You know, here they were looking the other way and letting Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX do what they were doing, and they don't get to keep their piece of the action. All righty. Now, in a letter leaked to Politico, Joe Biden's special counsel Richard Sauber told Republican Congressman James Comer, the incoming chair of the House Oversight Committee, and the future chair of the Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan, the administration has no plans to respond to the multitude of records requests sent by the both of them for upcoming investigations. In other words, Joe Biden is saying, we're not going to comply. Just go mind your own business. I'm above the law, and you're just going to have to learn to live with that. All right. Story coming on out of the Daily Mail. The Justice Department is still concealing 400 pages of sensitive documents laying bare the payoffs, gifts to Hunter and Jim Biden from China, Russia, and Ukraine after acknowledging the records exist. So there's a lawsuit that's been filed. The Department of Justice admits they have these documents, but they are refusing to release them. So cover up there, got something to hide. As Richard Nixon used to say, it's not the crime that gets you, it's the cover up. And certainly after Watergate, he knew that. Now, as one of its final acts in their little witch hunt, the House January 6th committee warned the White House it cannot ensure the confidentiality of certain witnesses. Okay, and they came on out, saying that they share a concern for the safety, security, and reputations of the various anonymous witnesses, and because the panel is dissolving now, and Republicans are now in control of the House of Representatives. So, again, more cover-up, more protection, trying to, keep the lid on the situation. Now, down in the Virgin Islands, last week, their Attorney General, Denise George, filed a lawsuit against J.P. Morgan for allegedly profiting from Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking operation. Less than a month after George secured a $105 million settlement with Epstein's estate, which agreed to liquidate Epstein's islands and cease all business operations in the region. Okay, so far so good. Now, this Attorney General Denise George has been fired by Governor Albert A. Bryan Jr., and it was reported he fired her for filing the suit against J.P. Morgan without his permission. The governor's office has now released a statement saying, well, that's not entirely accurate, but they're refusing to clarify exactly what went on there. And if you look at the kind of juice it takes to go into a foreign government and have the governor fire the attorney general for suing the bank, I mean, that kind of juice only reinforces the theory that Epstein's little sex island was, in fact, an intelligence operation that succeeded in honey trapping top politicians and executives from around the world. Okay. Now, over in Arizona, Katie Hobbs has been sworn in as the governor of Arizona, and the ceremony was kept private. Hobbs barred all reporters from being in attendance to cover her inauguration, and one story came on out that when she was taking the oath of office, she broke out in laughter, and that, of course, does not really look good. Now, Carrie Lake is still out there fighting. She's already trying to move her lawsuit directly to the Arizona Supreme Court. After that, it will be the United States Supreme Court, and the fact of the matter is that what has been uncovered in Arizona and the Maricopa County elections, over 333,000 misdemeanors were committed in the handling of the ballots and the machines. And the trial court just shrugged them off and said, what's a misdemeanor or two or 3,000, among friends, the election, we're just going to go with Katie Hobbs and there's nothing you can do about it. So Katie Hobbs is governor, and Carrie Lake is continuing the fight for honest and verifiable elections in this country. And it's a fight we all need to join and support, because as I've stated on prior occasions, crooked elections are the biggest threat to this nation. And I know there's a lot of other problems out there, like immigration and open borders, but the government is able to do that kind of thing, open borders, endless money to Ukraine, because they stole the election, which means they stole the country, which means they stole your money, potentially your children, if this goes to a full-on world war. Now, over at Twitter, Elon Musk is calling for an investigation into George Soros for his efforts at controlling information. It wasn't just the FBI and the White House and the pharmaceutical companies that were doing this. There were a lot of people, major American corporations like Coca-Cola, Disney, and Kraft Foods were urged by George Soros to boycott Twitter. And Elon Musk thinks there should be an investigation. I absolutely agree, because George Soros is not an elected official, either crookedly or even honestly. And I resent him mucking about with my country without my permission. And I do have some company in that. Only 36% of likely voters think the country is headed in the right direction. And I would not be surprised if even that number was inflated so the news wasn't so bad. Pretty much everybody around here, they think this country is headed in a very, very bad direction. So let's get on to COVID medical stuff, because there's a lot happening there. Masks are making a comeback. You know, if you threw away your mask, you're going to have to buy a new one. If you kept your vintage mask, you can make a fashion statement here. Hundreds of thousands of students across the U.S. will be forced to wear face coverings when classes go back this week as the schools bring back the controversial mandates. Now, remember, last week we reported the CDC actually came out and admitted there is no evidence whatsoever that these masks have any effect on contagion of COVID virus or any virus. I mean, the virus is just incredibly tiny compared to the weave and the fiber content of the masks. It's like trying to stop mosquitoes with a chain link fence. Now, if you took 700 of those COVID vaccine particles and laid them out in a single line, they would come to the width of one of your hairs. That's how incredibly small they are. Okay? And that's why when those COVID particles, they see a mask, they go, they actually think that's going to work. And just come right on in. Now, over at MSNBC, Zeke Emanuel is now exhorting his viewers to mask up because there are new COVID strains that are spreading very rapidly. Maybe. Now, there's a poll that came on out. This was a Rasmussen poll, and almost half of adults believe COVID-19 vaccines are behind these sudden unexplained deaths that we're seeing all over the country. In fact, the Rasmussen poll showed one out of every four Americans thinks someone they know died from the vaccine. So the war for the minds of America is being won by the truth and lost by the liars. All right, article coming on out of the New American. Dr. Stephanie Seneff is presenting evidence showing that the most toxic part of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the spike protein, is acting like a prion or misfolded protein that has the ability to transmit its misfolded shape into normal variants of the same protein. There are various prion diseases, and because of this, these mRNA shots, which mimic the spike protein, are able to induce brain diseases. And as a matter of fact, it was a link between the shot and sudden brain hemorrhaging that took the Johnson & Johnson one-shot-and-done vaccine off the market. All righty. Now, 17,000 doctors have just signed a letter demanding the vaccines be stopped because they are dangerous and unsafe. Is the corporate media ever going to cover that? Of course not, okay? Because, Pfizer wouldn't like it. And I used to work in advertising a long time ago, and so I know how this works. Large corporations capture the media through their advertising spending, okay? Just like the Sackler family and Prudhoe tried to turn the American public into addicts to make more money for their oxycodone. Pharmaceutical companies deliberately work to get media addicted to their advertising money so that they will never contradict what is out there in the propaganda. More when we come back from this book.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute. And this week, I'm not going to talk political news. This week's Liberty Minute is a personal plea to help a friend. On Thursday, December 22nd, my friend, single mother, and co-worker was injured. Jen is a part-time rural mail carrier, and she was delivering a package last Thursday when she slipped on the ice, fell, hit her head, and was knocked unconscious. An ambulance came and called for a life flight. Life Flight was grounded because of the snowstorm, so Jen was transported 2 hours away by ambulance. She was hospitalized, but was released in time to be home with her kids for Christmas. Yesterday, she was slurring her words and was again hospitalized, and that is the last update I have on her condition. As a part-time carrier, Jen has no benefits. She will eventually be paid something from workers' comp, but who knows how long that will take. I am asking you to reach into that spirit of giving that comes with the holiday season to help my friend if you can. Any donations received through my website, liberty-lighthouse.com, will go to Jen and her kids to fill the gap before workers' comp pays her anything. If you can, please go to liberty-lighthouse.com and donate to my friend Jen.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about COVID, and the Wall Street Journal came out with an article suggesting that the COVID vaccines may be causing the new COVID variants to evolve, which is something that we were suggesting about, 2 years ago, that it was a real danger. So let's see. And there we are. So the Wall Street Journal is now catching up on that one. Over at the University of Pennsylvania, a doctor has come on out saying that the antibodies from infections or vaccines don't seem to work against the new COVID subvariants. Well, there's evolution at work for you. Maybe there's another explanation. And so everybody is trying to find a believable explanation for all these sudden deaths that are happening all over the world. Some are blaming it on the end times. We're hearing a lot of that nonsense right now. And I would suggest that maybe all these new diseases and pestilences are being invented as a cover for the massive damage caused by the mRNA shots. Because this is an unprecedented medical disaster. It's worse than thalidomide. And, because of the criminal behavior and science fraud going on, the indemnification that the pharmaceutical companies normally have is no longer valid. And just like happened to Purdue Pharmaceuticals, these companies can be sued for massive amounts of money for the damage their products have caused. So now they're out there trying to say, no, 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 the vaccines are perfectly safe. These young people, perfectly healthy, fell over dead all of a sudden because they were outdoors too much, or they're eating too much breakfast cereal, or watching too much TV, or anything else like that at all. All righty. Now, over in Japan, there was an interview with Professor Manasori Fukushima, where he basically said, we are in the middle of an unprecedented vaccine disaster. And he's not the only one. We are finding many doctors in Japan are now investigating the causal relationship between the experimental COVID vaccine and the unprecedented numbers of people dying suddenly without any officially acknowledged explanation. So one of them is Professor Masataka Nagao of Hiroshima University School of Medicine in Japan. He's a specialist in forensic medicine and performed an autopsy together with authorities of more than 100 bodies a year. And in his analysis of people who died following the vaccination, Dr. Nagao focused on a particular pattern. When the police performed the autopsies on vaccinated people, they found that their bodies had temperatures of over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. That is a fever. Okay, and the first concern was the body temperature was very high when the police performed the autopsy. In this case, the body temperatures were unusually high. There is a pattern going on there. There's no explanation for that. Down in Australia, Dr. Wilson Chin, born in Hong Kong, trained in the United Kingdom. He was practicing medicine in Queensland, Australia, was very big on jabbing kids and went out there and said, we're pushing the COVID injections on kids, and has just passed away at the age of 34, immediately after getting vaccinated. So there's an issue there, and it's a big, huge cover-up because there's a lot of money on the line. And, you know, caring about people is okay, but we've got to protect the money. Always protect the money. And that's the reason for cover-ups of these industrial accidents like that. All righty. Story coming out of Sashatala Yapova. Let me try that again. Sashatala Yapova, Substack. Questioning just how much did Pfizer conduct safety testing for its mRNA shot in the preclinical studies. And apparently the numbers are showing the tests were cursory, almost like pro forma. And, you know, Pfizer came on out and said, we did not find any safety signals because we did not look for them. Remember when they actually admitted, we don't know if the vaccines will stop contagion because we never tested for that. Never ask a question you don't want the answer to. So we'll test for these things because we know we'll get good answers. We're not going to test for this other stuff because it could just spoil the party for everybody. Now, Dr. Naomi Wolf has revealed that the White House had the incriminating Pfizer documents before the emergency use authorization, yet still authorized the jab. The White House knew that there were problems with the Pfizer vaccine. Pfizer was admitting that there were problems, and they still pushed forward with getting everybody, injected. You know, a vaccine so safe, you have to threaten people to use it to deal with a disease so serious, you have to be tested to know that you have it. That's exactly how it came on down. So, again, it's all about the Benjamins, and everybody's afraid of litigation, and they're scrambling for cover to try and explain away all of these died suddenly cases that are popping up all over the world. And, huge effort on that. All right, we got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm. My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
got the bombs, we'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did.
And welcome back to our show here, turning to the international news now. There is an airbase deep inside Russian territory, has now been attacked twice with drones in less than 1 month. It's not some little, dirt field out there. The airbase near the city of Saratov houses nuclear-capable Russian strategic bomber aircraft. The latest attack was on December 26, in which 3 Russian servicemen were killed from falling drone debris after the weapon was reportedly shot down. Saratov is 730 kilometers southeast of Moscow and hundreds of kilometers from the Ukrainian border. And this is a provocation. They're trying to escalate this war because that's what fits into their plans about, you know, bringing down Russia and the United States to make way for the global new world order. Now, given that there is no doubt that NATO is trying to escalate the war in Ukraine, there were these 2 drone strikes against that major new base in Engels. And the attacks were not really successful, but some Russians did die. when shrapnel hit a fuel truck, which exploded. The importance of the attack is that Engels is located deep inside Russia. So this is no longer just a war over Ukraine. Somebody somewhere is carrying out attacks on Russian territory itself. That is a dangerous escalation. All righty. Now, Russian forces reportedly have suffered a huge loss after a Ukrainian strike killed dozens, possibly even hundreds, of newly mobilized troops in the east of the country. Moscow is now pointing to a U.S. role in the devastating attack. Russia's defense ministry said yesterday that Ukrainian forces used a U.S.-supplied HIMARS rocket system to destroy a facility used as a base for mobilized troops in the city of Makivka. Try that one again. And so, again, it's another escalation. This thing is not calming down. Nobody's talking peace. Zelensky is making unrealistic demands of Russia. Russia is simply not interested, and Zelensky is just going to other governments around the world, specifically the United States, and begging them for even more money. Now, Russia, meanwhile, is committed to furthering its relations with the Kurdistan region and supports the desires of the region's citizens to live in peace. And that sounds really kind of good until you realize the Kurds are a chip in the great game, if you will, involving Syria. And so that may be coming back into play. All righty. Now, intelligence officials recently determined that there was absolutely no evidence to claim that Russia sabotaged the Nord Stream pipelines. This is reported in the Washington Post. And you know, of course, a lot of media and intelligence sources baselessly tried to pin the blame on the Kremlin. And it didn't really make any sense, okay? The valves feeding the pipeline are in Russia. If they want to cut off oil to Europe, they just turn the valves. That's it. It's all over. The reason for blowing up the pipeline is to prevent Russia from turning those valves back on as leverage to get Europe to say, okay, this war in Ukraine is not our business. Let's go back to running our economies and taking care of our freezing populations. And it's just one illustration that truth is the first casualty of war. And there is a story over at UNS.com about spies and more lies add confusion to the Ukrainian conflict. Both sides are lying. Just accept that as a case. And as has been the case in America's recent wars, in Ukraine, it's a largely hidden clandestine conflict that's paralleling the actual fighting on the ground. And so it's an information war as much as a war involving bullets and bombs and drones and so forth and so on. And so they're trying to control the flow of information to keep on pushing the idea that Zelensky can succeed in pushing Russia out of Ukraine if we just give him enough of our money. And I don't think anybody really believes that. Meanwhile, Zelensky himself has signed a new bill into law to strengthen government control over public access to news in Ukraine. That doesn't sound to me like a leader who thinks he's actually winning the war. More like a leader who knows he's losing and doesn't want the general population to pick up on that and just give up and say, we've had enough, you know, stop sending our kids to be blown into bloody bits by all of this nonsense here. Now, there was this Ukrainian politician, and her name is Lesia Vasilenko. She's a Ukrainian member of parliament. She's frequently cited in Western media reports on supposed crimes committed by Russia, and she posted a photo claiming to show a child victimized by the Russian military. It was immediately called into doubt and debunked, exposed as another fraud, and the Ukrainian MP has now been forced to delete that photo. So again, truth is the first casualty of war. Another story on the escalation. This is from Lou Rockwell. The U.S. appears to be in the process of transferring its Patriot air defense missile system to Ukraine. This was reported over at CNN, saying exclusive U.S. finalizing plans to send Patriot missile defense system to Ukraine, claims the U.S. will approve and then ship the system or systems into Ukraine just days after the decision is made. And CNN admits that training the large numbers of Ukrainians necessary to run the system will take months. These are not very simple systems. There's the synthetic aperture radar, there's the targeting radars, and there's a lot of equipment to get working properly. And the U.S. is insisting that they will not send U.S. troops into Ukraine to operate those Patriot missile systems. Personally, I wouldn't take this government's word on, you know, anything here. Meanwhile, General Michael Flynn has a very different perspective. He's saying that Russia has basically achieved all their objectives in the Ukraine war and thinks it's time that Zelensky be dropped by the U.S. Congress, because we've spent a huge amount of money on him and this proxy war with Russia, and it's not going well. Of course, I know what Joe Biden is thinking. You know, Afghanistan was a disaster. Syria looks like they may have to wind that one down. Losing in Ukraine would definitely taint the Biden administration as militarily inept. And speaking of Syria, according to this article from Global Research, the curtain is coming down on the brutal 11-year-old Syrian conflict, which former U.S. President and Nobel laureate Barack Obama initiated as the Arab Spring swept through West Asia 2 decades ago. The United States has suffered yet another big setback in West Asia as 2022 draws to a close. The unfolding Turkish-Syrian reconciliation process under Russian mediation is being seen as a saga of betrayal and vengeance. In other words, they're not hating the people that we are telling them to hate. Remember all those people said, Assad must go, Assad must go, Assad must go. He's still there. All right, a little development here. This is being reported out of Newsweek. Tokyo has just announced it will soon acquire the ability to destroy faraway targets with cruise missiles. And so the U.S. has a new partner with which to threaten China. And China's Tokyo embassy immediately announced it had issued a diplomatic protest for stirring up tension and confrontation in the region. Now, one of the reasons this is a significant development is that following their defeat in World War II, Japan's new constitution limited their military to defensive-only weapon systems. And no long-range offensive systems were allowed under the Constitution. But on December 16th, the Japanese government, led by Fumio Kishida, issued new defense guidelines that allow the country to launch offensive attacks on enemy bases overseas for the first time since Japan was crushed in 1945. So they're becoming a world power again. Okay, North Korea is announcing an exponential expansion of their nuclear weapons program with which to target South Korea and the United States. Now, South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol has said that Seoul is in talks with the U.S. about holding joint nuclear exercises with U.S. nuclear forces. This will significantly raise tensions. Interestingly enough, the White House has issued a statement saying, no, there are no talks underway with South Korea about nuclear cooperation and war games. So somebody somewhere is fibbing. Meanwhile, the United States Air Force has sent 6 F-15 fighter jets to an Israeli airbase for temporary deployment that will involve joint drills with the Israeli Air Force as the two countries continue to step up military cooperation, with Iran obviously being in the crosshairs. And the F-15s are being sent to the Nevatim Air Base in southern Israel under U.S. Air Force's Central Command as part of a program that deploys U.S. aircraft to allied bases instead of U.S. ones. I don't know. Maybe these are replacements for the grounded F-35 so they can go on training, even though one-third of their F-35 fleet is currently on the ground. But again, everybody is arming up. We can all see what's coming, and we're just going to have to hunker down and ride this one out. Meanwhile, getting on back to Israel, their far-right minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, visited the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, and of course the Palestinians denounced it as another provocation. And Ben-Gvir issued a statement saying that our government will not surrender to the threats of Hamas. And so the Ynet News website carried pictures of Ben-Gvir touring the site under heavy security. Now, Israel's new government is about as right-wing as they can get, slightly to the right of Attila the Hun. And it's having an unexpected effect here in the United States, because American Jews are looking at what the new government of Israel is doing, and they're getting cold feet. And there is now a crisis in U.S. Jewish support for what Israel has become. Right now, Israel has a government filled with messianic right-wing Zionists, two of them convicted criminals, and newly returned Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu himself on trial for taking bribes. And so the American Jews who normally blindly support Israel without question, they're taking a step back here because they understand that Israel's strategy to avoid criticism for their war crimes is to collectively say, we represent all the Jews of the world and we're all the victims of anti-Semitism and Jew hate. And Jews outside Israel understand that if there is a backlash to the militant policies of Israel, it could very well hit them. And so they're starting to step on back here, and we might start to see the erosion of support for Israel within our own population. All right. Now, we're about ready, or about due, if you will, for another false flag event to escalate the war in some other direction. The Department of Homeland Security has issued an alert that Al-Qaeda is planning another plane attack with new techniques and tactics. And here I was thinking Al-Qaeda had kind of pretty much gone away with Osama bin Laden. It does smell like a false flag alert. Anyway, down in Venezuela, President Maduro has said that Venezuela is ready to work toward normalization with the United States, which would involve the Biden administration lifting the crippling economic sanctions on the South American country. And Maduro said Venezuela is ready, totally ready, to take steps toward a process of normalization of diplomatic, consular, and political relationships with the current administration of the United States and administrations yet to come. And so the beat goes on, if you will. All righty, let's get to the economic news here. And those of us with memories understand that 2022 was not a very good year economically. The government was plundering the people to finance all these wars all across the globe. The bankers were plundering as well, and we get left with less and less to try and struggle by with. Meanwhile, though, of the 23 major financial institutions that work directly with the Federal Reserve, 16 anticipate a recession within the next 12 months. Two more anticipate a recession the following year in a survey published by the Wall Street Journal yesterday. Meanwhile, Michael Burry is saying the U.S. is already in a recession and the Federal Reserve will cut rates to try and deal with that, triggering another inflation spike. So there's going to be that, if you will. Okay, now let's get on to some other things here. Let's see. According to a recent study, this was published in Station Gossip, the government must raise taxes 40%. That's 40 on you, or cut their spending 30% to achieve a fiscal balance. Now, if you're like me, you're probably thinking, let's cut government spending 30% rather than tax the American people more than they can really afford to begin with. And one place we could cut spending is supporting Zelensky and Ukraine and all the other military activities of the United States around the world. We could stop welcoming all kinds of illegal immigrants into our country and then offering them all kinds of free stuff. And again, we had that list of things that were in the omnibus spending bill, like money for research, teaching mice how to binge drink. Let's get rid of all that nonsense. Let's get rid of all that nonsense. We may be looking at the beginnings of a housing crash. Luxury home sales have crashed 38% in a record decline. That means the really big plush mansion-type houses, which we have quite a few of here in Christmas Lake Village. But apparently, prices on them are going down. People don't want to take on the burden of mortgages for a costly home. They're trying to live as simply as possible. All right, we have to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And welcome back to our show here. We're finishing up with the economic news. And there's a very sad story. It came out of Daily Mail. And it's talking about the homeless problem up in Portland, Oregon. And basically, they were interviewing this woman who's homeless on the streets and said, it's fine. You know, she's fed three meals a day by the woke city. And she can stay in her tent all day and do all kinds of drugs because there's cocaine, heroin, LSD, and meth, which officials decriminalized in 2020. And so, you know, compared to like, you know, getting a job or starting a business and everything, I mean, there are going to be a lot of people going to say, yeah, I'll just sleep here in a tent and be fed for free and, you know, get all kinds of drugs. And just that's going to be the entirety of my life, which is kind of tragic and pathetic. But, you know, there are some people where that would work for them. And, you know, a wise government would be finding ways of incentivizing the homeless people not to be homeless. To provide employment opportunities, gainful employment, and get them off the streets that way rather than just, you know, feed them and, you know, keep them corralled in these homeless camps all across the city and then pretend they don't exist. I remember one of the things that always bothered me when I the last few years we were living on Oahu was how the government dealt with the homeless problem primarily by just making sure the homeless weren't seen in the tourist areas. And they were always shooing them out of there. You know, we don't want the tourists to, you know, be donating money to these homeless people that they should be spending in the gift shops. And there was this huge homeless encampment surrounding the center lock of Pearl Harbor. And I remember one time when we were working on Lost, we shot a sequence at a non-operational school that was right on the edge of that encampment. We could look over the fence and down the hill and see all the tents and everything. And it became an issue when Dog the Bounty Hunter had to go into that encampment with cameras searching for somebody who had failed to show up for a court date. And this really created a major publicity problem for the government of Oahu, who basically just worked, you know, to cover it up and explain it away. And as far as I know, that giant homeless camp is still there. Let's be honest, if you're going to be homeless someplace, Hawaii is not really bad, you know, compared to like up in New York City where you get to freeze every winter, which is what's happening now. All right, let's talk about immigration and the border. GOP Representative Pat Fallon isn't wasting any time. He is going to file articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas as soon as the new Congress is sworn in, which happened earlier today. And Mayorkas is largely viewed by the GOP as a do-nothing leader responsible for exacerbating the border crisis. Okay, we got to take a break for station identification. We're going to open up those phone lines, 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.